Okay, here we go. Parshas Shlach, Tavshin Pehei, as we get into the story of the Meraglim. We already started last week with Baal Oscha. You know, we pointed out that Baal Oscha, Sefer Bamidbar does not seem to be the greatest Sefer for the Jewish people. You know, starting from Baal Oscha, where we have the Asaf Suf and the Misonim, and in Shlach we have the Meraglim, and Korach we have Korach, and Chukas we have the Moshe hitting the rock, and Balak, but we have to recognize that, remember, there were 38 years in the middle that we don't know anything about, and we don't have any evidence that there was anything negative. The Torah highlights these stories to be able to teach us certain elements of these stories, but that's we have to recognize that Am Yisrael, this was the Dor Day of, and even if they made mistakes, you know, we learn from their mistakes, because there are mistakes as well. So we start off with the Meraglim. So of course, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu sends Meraglim. Even, again, every word, we're not going to do so much of that this year, every word in the whole story has importance, and different Rishonim pick up on different words. Shlach lecha anashim. V'yasuru, why is it lecha? Why is it latur, which connects us to the end of the parsha? V'los asuru achrei levavchem achrei enechem. V'yasuru, does that mean scout? Does that mean, is that a positive word? Is that a negative word? But each word is focused on Ishachar Ishachal Amata, but we know there was a Nasi sent from each one of the Shvatim. Vayishlachos Moshe, Moshe sent them from Midbar Paran, Kul Al Pi Hashem, again Al Pi Hashem, so Hashem was maskim to this, right, Rashi, Birshuso Shelo Ikev Al Yado. So does that mean that he was maskim or he just didn't prevent it? So interesting, double Lashon in Rashi. But then Rashi quotes, Kulam Anashim, Kol Anashim Shebe Mikra, Lashon Chashivus. Every time it says the word anashim, it means important men, not just any men, important men. Vosasha ksherim hayu. And at that moment, they were kasher, they were chashuv, right, these 12 individuals. We'll get back to that Rashi. But if you look, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has in the Sichas Musar, I think we mentioned this more than a decade ago, some of this piece, but he quotes there, this Rashi, right, they were chashuv at that time. Vihine, bevadai chashivusam haisa gedola. Remember, look at the Chevra. Who was in this Chevra? Yoshua and Kalev were part of this Chevra. And Yoshua and Kalev wouldn't be, you know, grouped together in the Nesiim with just anybody. The Yisrael came because of a Ramban. And the Ramban even says, V'nir'eh shera'a limnosam hine lefi ma'alas shal shluchim. Whoa, they were written in order of the chashivus. That's the word, because what does it say? Reuven, Shimon, Yisachar, Ephraim, Binyamin. Ki hayu rashim v'nisiyim ba'am kasher siper ve'ein malasim shaveh. They weren't all equal. Avol yesh b'hem gadol mechaviro b'chach b'v'minyin. Some of them are more honored and wise than the others. Victim anichbar kodim b'mala ki malas atzmaman v'chulu. So you see, these were anashim, these were ksherim, and Kalev was only the third, and Yeshua was the fifth. So there were others that were even greater. So the question that's asked by many, and asked Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who in a royal is bonin on line 10, Ketzad ira hadavar, shebizman muad kalkach, how is it possible that in such a small amount of time, how long did it take to get there? A couple of days? Shebimeshach arboim yom belvad. And they were there, and they were, the whole trip was 40 days. Yerdu anashim elu hamachunim batorah betorah anashim, lashon chashivus, they fell. They went down. Umeham gedolim Yoshua. Rabu Manigam Shah Yisrael, and some of them on the list were greater than Yeshua ben Nun according to the Ramban, if they're listed from the greatest to the earlier. Bimalasim al Yonah, Ludiotach Tonil, until they go to the lowest level, Lahotzi Yasdiba Sarez Ra, to go against what Hashem promised them, to lie, Ula Hamrid as Klal Yisrael al Hashem al Mashicho, and to cause a rebellion, to cause Klal Yisrael to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo'od al Hashakafru Be'ikr, as Rashi quotes, They denied the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo nucha lalo sala'am. We can't do it. The Meraglim said, ki chazak hu mimenu. It's greater than, what's mimenu? It might mean from us, unless mimenu means from us, but it also can mean from him. From him, capital H. Ubieru chazak, chazak mimenu kavyachol klapi mala amru. So the question is, how is it possible? Which mida, which root idea was it that ultimately led to this Meraglim coming back? And remember, the Meraglim was just the beginning of it. The Meraglim was the first of the five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. Right? The Meraglim came back, and as the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, you're going to cry, b'chiyah shel chinam, you're going to cry for nothing, I'll give you something to cry for. Ani yaten lachem b'chila doros. So this whole process started here. So he said, I'm just going to present to you the thought of the Ramchal in the Mesilas Yesharim, what he talks about in terms of the Meraglim. So he quotes Matzanu Pesher Davar Mesilas Yesharim Sof Perek Yud Aleph. I don't know if the Mesilas Yesharim himself knew that this was going to be the case, but for the past couple hundred years, you know, there are many that learn the Mesilas Yesharim, but a large percentage of those who learn it stop after Perek Yud Aleph, because that's already high enough, and after that it starts getting, you know, higher than, let's say, the average Jew, and it doesn't mean we stop. After Perek Yud Aleph, you go back to Perek Aleph, because after Nikius and everything he talks about there. So I don't know if he knew that, and that's why he put so much into these prakim through there. But Perek Yud Aleph, what does he talk about towards the end of that perek? B'toch dvarav b'gnus hakavod, eich rabim b'tovim nichshelu biglalo. The yearning for personal honor. In that context, v'nevdu min ha'olam, he quotes the Meraglim. Hu akavet shegarm lefidas chazal, he quotes a Zohar, ala Meraglim, sheyotziu diba ahala aretz. Why did they say negative things about the Eretz Yisrael? V'garmu misa lahem v'chol doram. When we go into Eretz Yisrael, one second, right now we're the head of our Shvatim, we travel at the front, where we all, you know, everybody's together and we're at the head. When we go in, everybody's going to be in their own neighborhood, their own towns. Are we still going to be in that space? Shalo yu nesiim li Yisrael, v'yamdu acherim b'mkomam. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, the root of it was a kina taiva v'kavod. The Chazal that he quotes here from the Zohar are teaching us the secret. The root of it was not a feeling, right? Eretz Yisrael is not so amazing. They weren't objective because of another root problem, right? There are those, right, out there that even today, they might find a negative and say something negative about the land of Israel, about Eretz Yisrael today, but at root, it's not that. At root, it's because they're comfortable where they are, comfortable like the Meraglim. They were comfortable where they were. We don't want to go in because then things might change in my life. Obviously, something's going to change in life. You're going to Hashem's promised land. But Rudivas Hakavod Hu Agorim Sheir Asam Pen Yimat Kvodam Hevi Asam Latakis Eitzos Lanoas Yisrael Mekarnis Laaretz. This is the Mesilas Yesharim talking, right? They, because of their own personal rutzon for status. So this is what led to them to have this, maybe they convinced themselves, who says if it was conscious, but even the subconscious came from this original rut zone. Ki akavod hu sam ha-maves v'harodef acharav, afil yibrum ha-malo mirashi b'nei Yisrael, yizdarder al-abira ha-mikdash al-kfir ha-sumiyas. Look what it could lead to. Look what it could lead to. Right, sometimes we see some of the greatest of our leaders, if anybody remembers seeing Rav Moshe Feinstein. Like, he and kavod were opposites. It was the total opposite of definition. If you look in if they had a book for antonyms and opposites, Ramosha would be the opposite of kavod. So it was not goresed. It was not on his radar. Ubiyoser shekol apachad agado pen yim akvod of inzvata nesiusam in meduber kam b'diusos shel shevet. Maybe they weren't even nesiim for their shevet. Right? He talks about how it was even a medume. It was even imaginary what it was. So says the Ramchal based and the Chaim Shmulevitz expands upon it. We have to be so careful that everything we do in life has to be l'shem shamayim, not for our own personal status. He does say though, there's an exception to the rule. There's an exception to the rule that one could be out for kvod atzmo if it's not really kvod atzmo. Yesh Ofan, line 44, 41. Shemavakish kavod la'atzmo, v'lo mishum avas atzmo, ela mitam acher. Sometimes it can be appropriate that we learn that from a personality in Sefer Shoftim. Yiftach hagiladi. Yiftach, towards the bottom of the page. B'shosh enilchum avdei Amon, b'nei Yisrael, if you remember the story from Sefer Shoftim, the Jews were fighting Amon, holchu ziknei gilad v'yomru, liyiftach l'chavi ha'isalon l'katzin. Earlier, the Ziknei Gilad had thrown him out, and he was an outcast. And now they come back to him and say, we need you! Be our captain! V'nilchama b'bnei Amon! V'gomer, v'yomer yiftach al Ziknei Gilad, imeshivim atem oti lihilachem b'bnei Amon, if you want me, ani eye l'chalachem l'rosh. If you want me to be your leader, okay, but I gotta be the leader. I have to be at the head. V'acharkach, v'yidavar yiftach es kol devarel avnei Hashem b'mitzvah, Upirish Vashi is called Varav Hatnai Shebinehem. He told over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Tnai, Klomar, Masha Hisna Imam Shiasima Larosha Layam Ba'ozi Lachim Lebibne Amod. He tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Chazal, tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu about his Tnai that he made to be their leader. Ulach Ora asked Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, now turning the page, Lefaneinu Inyan Shal Bakashas Kavod. Anochi Eilech on the Rosh. What's he saying it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Isn't this a lack? This is one of the Shoftim. Again, certain Shoftim had intriguing personalities, and you don't know if they were all perfect, great tzaddikim, but this doesn't sound like a shofate. Aval niresha hamafarish kein eno elatoa. No, that's the point. Is that's a mistake, and if you take it at face value, shari afilu pachol shebechusim yilochalem biyevosh letvoa covered bepel eni kol. Nobody does this. I will help you if you make me the king. If you make me in charge. No, the point is Yiftach knew he had to have Klal Yisrael be confident, and he had to show himself as a strong leader in order to gather the masses, in order to, it's ultimately Kvod Shamayim. Yodeh haya Yiftach, shlo yala biyodu l'mtzeches b'nei Amor, he won't be victorious. Elim ken yaminu bo Yisrael, v'yasim alein l'rosh, he knew that this is what is needed to be able to be successful to defeat them. And that's why he said it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why this type of Kavod is okay. Because whenever Kavod at root is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that's what it's about. We have to be very zahir and out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, and in that way, that kavod would be okay. But again, the Meraglim, according to the Zohar, as the Ramchal quoted, as the Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz quoted, they were out for their own. And that was the problem. Okay. Moving right along, another thought related to this pasuk that we just had. We're not going to read the rest of it. So the pasuk we just read was, Kulam Anashim, right, the second pasuk of the parsha, they were all men, and Rashi quoted, "Kolanashim shebemikra lashon chashivus, va'osa shok sheirim hayu." At that time, they were kosher. They were kosher. Ask if you look in the Chalkas Binyamin, Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky's Sefer on Chumash that came out a couple of years ago. He says, but one second, if you look in a couple of psukim later, Yud Gimel Chavav, right, when they came back, it says they came back, vayelchu vayavou. El Moshe v'El Aaron. What does Rashi say in Vayelchu v'Yavou? Rashi says, what do you mean they went? They're coming back now. Vayelchu v'Yavou, lahakish halichasan l'bi'asan. It's to compare their going out to their returning. Ma bi'asan be'etzara, just like their coming back was etzara. They came back with bad advice and a bad etza. Af halichasan be'etzara. So too, when they went out, it was etzara. So one second. It says at the beginning of the parasha, Kula Manashim, Rashi says, at that moment, ksherim hayu. Vosa shak ksherim hayu. But then, a few psukim later, it says, vayochav yavo, Rashi says, no, they went out with eight sarah. So which is it? Were they appropriate at that time? Were they eight satova? Were they were ksherim, but they were eight sarah? That's the kasha of the Chalkas Binyamin. You have it here in source number 3. Yesh lo tamua. Sheba esi yitzi yitzi maraglim la derech nemer ar vayishlach ozam moshim mir paran kulam anashim, and Rashi quotes, kol anashim shem mikra, lashon chashivus, vosa shak ksherim hayu. And then Vayelchu Vayavo, when they came back, the Gemara darshins, Makash Alicha Labia, that they went out Be'et Sarah. Right? So which is it? So says the Gazi, says, Venir Eliyashev, Apima Shekasaf HaNetziv. Maybe he says, I could help with the Netziv's pshat of the Meraglim, the Chet Meraglim. We did this Netziv of Tamar of years ago, but we never saw it in this context. We need to see it in this context. Shlach lecha anashim. Let's go to the Netziv in source number 4, and then we'll come back to Rabbi Kamenetsky in source number 3. Says the Netziv, the Hamik Davar, on the right side. Ein amikra yosim edei pshuto. Right? I want to give a pshat to the Meraglim based on the simple reading of the text. Elakachu inyan, let's start with line 11. Devadai. Lefi halichas olam hateva. If you think of it in natural realms, if you're going, again, in a time when you didn't have drones and didn't have satellite pictures and you wanted to see what the enemy looked like, you had to send spies. You had to send lookouts. So to go into Eretz Yisrael, Bederech HaTeva, you definitely had to send, you know, people beforehand. Delvade lefi alichas olam HaTeva, haya hashiluach nachutz, liros eich ube'ezet tzalich posha'aretz, kodesh kodesh of a Ramban. Ramban emphasizes this. That this is normal. Before you, you know, enter into a battle. Ukumivur balashin Yisrael sha'amru. What does it say when we have the recount of the Meraglim at the beginning of Devarim? Nishlacha anashim lefaneinu v'yachru lanu asaretz. Send people, they'll search out, v'yashivu osanu davar, they'll bring back information. As the derech asher na'alaba v'sa'arim asher na'avo aleihen. Hare lo bikshu ladasa tov v'yimra. They didn't ask, tell us good or bad. They told us, no, the derech, which way to get there. Ladas eich yichbishu. V'zeh v'adai ra'ui u'muchrach im ha'kvishi b'derech ha'teva. And this is very appropriate, but now says the Nesiv. It's all very appropriate and understood if you're going in b'derech ha'teva in the natural realm. But up until this point, what's been going on for the past 40 years? The Mon and the Be'er. Aval, and again, this pshat is the opposite of some other pshatim. Aval am hila mala me'ateva, but if the existence is supernatural, asher holchu ad heina b'midbar, up until now there's been supernatural existence, ein makom l'shlichos chal, if you're living in supernatural existence, what are you sending messengers for? What, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't continue? He's giving you the man and the be'er and the anani ha'kavid? Shein davar chotzeis b'fnei tif'eres uzo yisbarach. What were they doing? They were living a supernatural existence all these years, and all of a sudden they want to send miraglim? You're right. Miraglim is appropriate if it is b'derech ha'teva. But this whole existence is not b'derech ha'teva. So explains the Netziv, that's exactly what they were worried about. Again, this is the opposite. Some other mefarshim say that this was their problem, that they wanted to stay in the supernatural existence. That's what some other pshatim say. And they didn't want to go into a derech ha'teva existence. And that's what Eretz Yisrael was going to be. The Netziv is saying differently. The Netziv is saying, no, they could have, if they would have been Zoche, carried the derech me'al ha'teva existence into Eretz Yisrael. But they didn't want that. They wanted b'derech ha'teva. Why? The original plan was to go in b'derech neis. But what did Klai Yisrael just see in Parshas Baloscha? They saw that they're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that every little complaint, plague, fire, boom, boom, boom. What did they say to themselves? We'd rather be more distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and live b'derech ha'teva and not b'derech neis, because look at the level that we have to be on in order to be zocha to that miraculous existence. And it's hard to live in that space. Based on the gilui shechina, kol ma shemedabrim shelo kahogan hu ba'azne Hashem. If you're in the palace of the king, everything you say, he hears. And malachim are going to come punish. They can't live on that level. They didn't want to stay. Alkein, let me be further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it continues. And that was the tragedy. The tragedy was when the Bnei Yisrael chose, you know, it's too hard to be close, to be in Hashem's palace. I'd rather not be in the palace and not be as responsible for my actions and not be on such a level and not be on such a level. That's the Netziv. That's the Netziv's commentary. Suggests now, back to the Chalkas Binyamin, Rav Kamenetsky, he suggests maybe that was the root here. They were Ksherim at that moment. Right, Lashon Chashivus. But in their heads, they didn't have a good direction. They were Ksherim, but they were going with Eitzarah. Because this was their Eitzah that they were going to try to change. Even though they hadn't done anything wrong yet. The Nimsa, if you look down, he summarizes in a Sib, which we just saw in the second paragraph. The Nimsa, but he says then, Sheba Emes, B'sha'a Rishona Ksherim Ayu, Shadayin Lachatu Befal, they hadn't sinned yet, actually, Ach Ikra Shorah Sheba Avuro, Nishlecha Meraglim, but the whole idea of sending the Meraglim, that was Eitzarah. Right? All of Klai Yisrael was in on that advice. Sheratzu lasur me'advekus ha'gemurim Hashem, u'meshkachaso hanisas, they wanted to leave and go away from the dvekus and from the hashgacha and be more distant. And obviously that was a tragic mistake. We don't choose a lower spiritual responsibility. That is not for us to choose. We should always look for more mitzvahs. Remember last week? Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni Jews. They don't say, okay, I'm Pater, I'm good. Okay, I'll get it next year. No. They go to Moshe and complain. We want to be part of it. We want. Right? The tragedy of last week, Vayisu Me'achri Hashem, Kitina Kabarech Me'es HaSefer. Right? That's the tragedy that they experienced, and we are still suffering from that consequence. Okay. Moving right along, one final thought on the, maybe not final thought, next thought about the a general point about the Meraglim. This one is from Rabbi Sachs in his Sefer Life-Changing Ideas. Rabbi Sachs, Kedarko Bakodesh, takes a modern concept and puts it back into the Torah. He talks about what's known as CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. He spoke about, he quotes that he spoke to Aaron T. Beck, the founder of this form of psychotherapy, discovered it worked through depression, v'chul, and he goes and talks about how, you know, people view realities in the way that they want to see the reality. And if a person could, you know, reshape what they're looking at, so then that would be something that would be valuable to them and to all those around them. If you turn the page for a minute, he talks about this in the context of the Meraglim. Right? Recall what happened, he says on the left side. Moshe sent 12 men to spy out the land. The men were leaders, princes, people of distinction. Yet 10 of them came back with a demoralizing report. The land, they said, is indeed good. Milk and honey, but the people are strong, the cities are large, well fortified. And then the terrible thing happens. Says Rabbi Sachs, essential to understanding this passage is the fact that the report of the 10 spies was utterly unfounded. It was not true. It was a made-up reality. Only much later in the book of Yoshua, we only find this out in Yoshua, when Yoshua sent out spies. Remember what Rachav said? How Rachav described what the people came in? What did Rachav say? Everybody was shaking in their shoes, in their boots, about Klal Yisrael. None of this, what did the Meraglim say? We can't overcome them, they're so strong. What did Rachav say? What was going on in the world? Our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The spies were terrified of the Canaanites and entirely failed to realize that the Canaanites were terrified of them. How can they make such a mistake? Such a distorted thinking. So he says, he goes through a number of points of CBT here, amazing, that all fit into this Meraglim. One, is all or nothing thinking. And even if all of us, we don't have all of these attributes, but I think some of them apply to all of us. All or nothing thinking. Everything is black or white. Good or bad, easy or impossible. That was the spies' verdict on the possibility of conquest. It can't be done. They could have said, it'll be difficult. We will need courage and skill, but with God's help, we'll prevail. He says, no, sometimes this is going to be terrible, and this is going to be, right? It's all or nothing. And life's not about that. Life's complex. Number two. Another is negative filtering. We discount the positives as being insignificant and focus almost exclusively on the negatives. Sometimes this is a personality also. You know, there's 8 things going on in my life. 6 of them are great, 2 of them are challenging, and I'll say that my whole life stinks. We have to, negative filtering. Look, Eretz, what, Zavas Chalavadash, right? There seem to be some giants, but what do you focus on? A third is catastrophizing, expecting disaster to stroke no matter what, right? This is what people did, what they say. They brought us to die, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. Mind reading. We assume we know what the other people are thinking when usually we are completely wrong because we are jumping to conclusions about them based on our own feelings. Remember, that's called projection, right? What we think, we think about them, we say that they think about us. And he continues to go through all these details. A fifth is the inability to disconfirm. A sixth, emotional reasoning. Emotional reasoning. Letting your feelings rather than careful deliberation dictate your feelings. A key example is the spies placed on the fact that the cities were fortified and very large, right? What did they do here? What did this mean? They didn't stop to think. What did Rashi say? Rashi says in the beginning of the parsha, right? If they have walled cities around them, that means that they're scared and that they're weak and they're not living out in the open. But what do they see? Aram Bitsuros. Oh, scary. It's all about how you view things, how you view things. And then Rabbi Sacks says, classic, what I found on the next page, what I find profoundly moving is the therapy the Torah itself prescribes. You know what you have to do for CBT, cognitive therapy? You have to create a new reality that you see. And what does the Torah tell us at the end of Parshat Shlach? We have looking, ureisem oso, when it comes to tzitzis. When you view things with halachic eyeglasses, then your whole mind, your whole view of life can be different, and we have to make sure that we do that. But again, the lesson of the Meraglim, according to Rabbi Sacks, is you can see the same reality. But what do you see? Do you see a silver lining? Do you see just the negative? Do you discount the positive? Right, and that's what he says at the end, the life-changing idea. Never let negative emotions distort your perception. To see the world as it is, not as you are afraid it might be. Let faith banish fear. So this is Rabbi Sacks. Again, there's more there, but we'll leave that for now. Okay. Moving right along to the next thought about the Meraglim. Says the Moshe Rabbeinu giving them instructions. So Moshe gives them instructions towards the end of Rishon. We're spending a lot of time towards on the first part of the parsha here. Moshe gives them instructions. Aluze banegev va'alisem es ha'ar. Uri'isem es ha'aretz mahi. Go see the land. What it is. V'esha'ama yoshev alea hechazaku arafa ham'atu amrav. Are they strong? Are they weak? U'ma'aretz asher hu yosheba. Go see the am. Go see the aretz. U'me'aretz ha'shmenehi imraza. Ha'ish ba'etzim ayin. Does it have good fruit? V'his chazaktem. U'lekachtem ipri ha'aretz. What does v'his chazaktem mean? Right? Be strong. What are they supposed to be strong about? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vizchazaktem." Are they supposed to be strong in a fighting way? They weren't fighting anybody. What's vizchazaktem? Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in source number 6, Divrei Eliyahu. Two thoughts. V'yesh lis'ol al papasik v'hizchazaktem matzorich yesh b'hizchazkus k'dei lakachas mipri aretz. Be strong and take the fruit. Right, take fruit down and be strong. What do you have to be strong? You have to climb up the trees. Pshat advarim hu shekivan shayamim hayu may be kurian avi, and the parsha pshat might be because, as the pasuk tells us, that this was the time of the blossoming of the grapes. Hareisha b'shah sheyinasu amaraglum lakachas me'aperos hatovim va'yafin lamachal. If you go into people's fields and start taking the grapes, yavo b'nei adam ligarbo, and people are going to tell you, what are you doing? So be strong. It's our land. Be strong, one shot. But he quotes from the Rabbi Targum Yonasan, and the Svarno of his Chazaktem is from the Lashon of Lahachzikba. Make a Chazaka on it. Va'al tira'u sheyitnu einayim bachem lemeraglim. Olami kan, what is make a Chazaka? Moshe Rabbeinu shalach as a meraglim on Turat Eretz Kanan, lalechas la'arko l'rachma, k'dei sheyasu kinyin Chazaka ba'alichasam ba. Make a kinyin on it. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, don't just go see it. Be kone the land. We know there are different types of kinyan in this. Kinyan Meshicha and Kinyan Hagbah and Kinyan Chatzer and Kinyan Shtar and Kinyan Chazaka. Kinyan Chazaka has many different forms, but one of the there's a Magen Mishnah that says, I think it's an Ochos Mechira, that says, what's the common denominator in all the different ways that you can do a Kinyan Chazaka? Kinyan Chazaka means you dig, you put up a fence, you take down a fence, you put on a lock, what's the common denominator? Act like an owner. If you act like an owner, that makes you the owner. Make a kinyan chazaka on the land of Israel. Walk in there like you own it. Sometimes you look at somebody, it's like they're walking around like they own the place. Moshe was telling them to go into Eretz Yisrael, walk around like you own the place. That'll be a kinyan chazaka. And he quotes, that's even there's a daya in the Baba Basra Daf Kuf, line 10, V'achin l'dasra b'liezer, yesh b'halicha m'shem ma'isa kinyan. That really is a halacha ma'isa kinyan walking around. Kishenemar la'Avram Avinu, like Avram Avinu was told by Hashem, kum mitzalik baris l'arakar l'rachba, kilchat nena. And even according to not Rebbe Lazar, that you can't just walk, you have to do a chazaka, klomar, halicha levad eina maspika b'shul liknos, v'yish lahosef ma'isa hamare bailus, mishim kach, Moshe Rabbeinu says, take from the fruit. Of course, taking from the fruit could be an act of chazaka on the land. Bikish Moshe Rabbeinu, Mamaraglim, she yisnagu kadoni haaretz, yitzchazku v'yichamei pri haaretz. Moshe needs them to create that formal legal connection to the land of Israel. Oz nasa kan kinyin gamar. What happened? The Meraglim took fruit, and Kalev and Yoshua didn't take fruit. One second. Moshe tells them to take fruit to be kohen evkini chazaka, or walk around the kohen Jer Balazar. And Dafka, Yeshua, and Kalev didn't take the fruit? Im Kain, line 17. Hamaraglim nishlechu lasos chazaka l'eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim was sent to do a kinyin chazaka. Avalhem lo asu Kain. They didn't do the kinyin chazaka. Ela vayarum es priharetz. Why'd they take the fruit? Kinyanim don't work without das. If I cut fruit just to steal the fruit, I'm not kona your tree. So here, why did they take the fruit? They brought back the fruit to show to the rest of the Jewish people about how strange this land is. Heim katu asaperos ach v'rak b'shvil lit'on v'zeh pirya l'shem kintur v'hotzaz diba. Right? The fruit is weird and the people are weird. So they refused to do the kinyan chazaka. You know what their punished ones? You don't want it to be kona the land? You know what? You're not going into the land. Hashem is not going to give you something you don't want. So if you don't want it, okay, I'm not going to give it to you. Kishem shesirvo ha-meraglim l'hachzik ba'aretz. Just like the meraglim refused to be kona. L'kacha says perosel l'shem kinyin v'lasos chazaka ba'aretz. They refused to take for the fruit to make a kinyin. Kach nenshu shlo yidchol zaretz. Okay, you're not going in. But one second, so why didn't Yoshua v'kalev take from the fruit? Why didn't they do kinyin chazaka? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do. So last point, line 26. No selahavin. Madua Yeshua v'kalev sirva l'kachas me'aperos. Why didn't they do a kinyin chazaka? Sarech lomar shekalev Yeshua tanu shein tzarech b'maisa shel kinyin mishvil lasos chazaka. V'hiloch achin maspek. You have to say somehow that Yeshua and Kalev were even more connected to the land of Israel. So Rav Merchel Yo turns everything on his head. They thought that you can make a chazaka just by walking around. What do you mean walking around? That's only your Belazar Shita, not the Chachamim Shita. Says Rav Merchel Yo, walking around is only faulty if the owner didn't tell you, walk around and in that way be kona. Mishum shalicha levada she'ena mo'ila hidafka alicha shadam holech miyuzmato. Where you're going yourself. If I'm selling you a piece of land and I say, you know what, take a walk around and through that walk it'll be yours. That works. That works because that's what's called das acheres makne. I'm allowing you. Who am I lekono alechad lazakos bekarko bezel lecholadeis hilachotz echazaka gam ba'olapul nosefes. You don't need anything more. So Yeshua v'Kalev thought that you could do it just with. What's the message for all of us to be misakin the chet of the meraglim? Again, after Shavuos, we're in the time period after Shavuos now. From Shavuos, 40 days, Shavasa b'Tamuz. 40 days after that, we know, is Rosh Chodesh Elul. 40 days after that is Yom Kippur. But we're in the time period we're still going down before we're going up. Parsha Shlach always gives us pause to be able to make sure that we have the attitude of being Koneh Bechazaka, Eretz Yisrael. Shana Tzrichem L'Hischazik B'Yoser B'Achzachas Artzeinu HaKadosha. V'Mechazik our land. Right? Shalom Nitna Lanu B'Kocheinu B'Zechuseinu Ki'im B'Yad Hashem. Hashem decided. And maybe because Hashem decided that it's our land, that's why the other nations of the world can't deal with it. Right, remember that Rashi in Parsha Zos HaBracha? All the 31 kings in the world have a little piece. A little piece of Yerushalayim, a little piece of Eretz Yisrael. Because that's where. We have a tiny, I was recently showing one of my children a map of the Middle East. And Chaman al Hashem should save us from all of our enemies as we're experiencing right now. So you see the size of Iran. And the size of Iraq, and the size, everybody's huge. You can't even see Israel on the map. You can't even see it. It's like a sliver of a line, and you know, there's not even enough space to write two letters of the word Israel. But because we know this is where the whole world gets nourishment from, and we have to make sure that we're mechazik this land. We're mechazik this land. Parsha Shlach is always a time that we have to do what we can to strengthen ourselves in this area. Okay, one final. Most of our time is going to be on the Meraglim today, this year. And then we'll get to something at the end of the Parsha. Something very special. Before we get there. But everything's special. Okay. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu? How does he react? As we know, he was very upset. But if we look at a Pasuk, Yud Dalet, before we get to his full reaction. They tell the whole story and they cry. Vayilon al Moshe v'Aaron. They say unbelievable strong words. We would have rather died in Mitzrayim. Right? Take us back. Nitna Rosh v'Nashuva Mitzrayim. This is the door that was saw all the Nisim. Unbelievable. And they said, no, Tova Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. It's a very good land. It's a very good land. And the Pasuk says that after Shlishi, Sard Sila Me'alehem. Their shadow has already been removed. Don't worry about it. Hashem itanu al tira'um. Sard sila me'alehem. Right? Their shadow. Who's talking here? This is Kalev talking, I think. Vayomru. Or maybe it's Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua and Kalev are talking here. Sard silam, their shadow has been removed. Rashi says, maginam v'chazakam. The one that protected them. Rashi quotes Eov. Eov was their strength. See, Eov's not around anymore. But if you look in the source number 7 from the Sfas Svasemes has another idea on a more of a Jewish of Sart Silam Me'alehem. Their shadow has been removed from them. And Hashem is with us. Hara Matsui Ba'olam Ein Lo Be'emes Shum Zchus Kiyam L'Kishela Atzmo. Says the Svasemes, all Ra in the world, anything inherently, well, we think it's inherent, anything that looks Ra to us really has no reality. V'lo Nivra Ela Kedei Lases Bechira La'adam. Everything that looks ra in the world was just there to create a nisayon for us to succeed in, and then it disappears. When we overcome, it was a mirage. Says this Fasemes, right? What does the Pasuk say in Eicha? Mi pi elyon lo teitze hara'us vahatov. Good and bad doesn't come out from Hashem. Right? It's all good. Some of it looks like bad to us, right? In this world, we say Adayin ha'emes. We don't say Hatov ha'meitiv on everything. We say Adayin ha'emes. But we believe and we know that there will be a time that everything will be clear. But in this world, it's like sometimes at night, you're looking in a very dark area and you think you see something and you get closer, or you think it's like, you think it's a tree and you get closer and you see it's a person, right? Your eyes play games with you. B'dome la'adam ha'mahalich yichidi b'alayla, like somebody walking at night. V'nidma lo shu ro'a me'rachok, d'muyos emim. You see from afar, oh, those scary animals. Ha'matilos la'pachad v'zva. Scary looking things. Ukshu mischazik u misazer oz, and when you get strong to be miskarev, to come close, harina nochal liros, you realize, ki'in eila elit slalim, it's just shadows. It's shadows of the trees. Yeshua and Kalev were telling the rest of Am Yisrael, you see, you think that this pachad there, you think this ra, it's just a shadow. Sard sila me'alehem. The shadow's gonna disappear. Vashem itanu, al tira'um. This has to do with the land of Israel. Rak, Dima nidma lachem, ki reisem shamana demasha nidma lachem, ki reisem shamana kim va'arim b'tsuros. You think you see giants? Ki kasherak tazazru b'vitachon. If you have a little more bitachon, you'll realize it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. It's not real. Sard sila me'alehem, and therefore Yeshua and Kalev says you gotta become be strong. You gotta make sure that you see things in the right perspective. Again, a lot of this parsha at the beginning and at the end of the parsha are all about appropriate re'iyah, right? U're'isem asaretz mahi, we have at the beginning of the parsha. And then at the end of the parsha, as I mentioned before, u're'isem oso u'zachartem, right? Tzitzis are supposed to make us realize that it's all about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A couple of years ago, we mentioned Revolbi, who says, how does tzitzis remind us of all the mitzvahs? It's called mitzvahs Hashem. Tefillin doesn't remind us of all the mitzvahs. Tzitzis is one of the seven mitzvahs shkulos. Shakol keneged kol haTorah kula. Tzitzis, Mila, Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, Talmud Torah, Tztaka, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. These are the mitzvahs that are keneged kol haTorah kula. So Revolbi says, tzitzis are strings. And if you could imagine strings, he gives the mashal, he says, somebody goes thrown overboard into the sea. You throw them a life preserver. Throw them a life preserver. The person grabs on and you reel them in onto the boat. You pull them in. Every mitzvah that we have is a string that we could climb up and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. And these are our life preservers, because sometimes in life we feel like we're drowning. We feel like we're getting thrown around. We just got to hold on to those strings. I think Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says that Chevle Leida, Mashiach, Yimos HaMashiach, are compared to Chevle Leida, pangs of childbirth. But what do you mean pangs? Chevle is also a chevel, it's a rope. He says, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak explains, that before Mashiach comes, and we hope that this is the wildest and hardest that Hashem is going to shake, right? Hashem is going to start shaking the world, and it's like a rope, and it's our job to hold on to that rope as much as it shakes back and forth. We just got to hold on. That's the Chevle Leida, the Chevle Mashiach. And that's what we're feeling now, but we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it really is the Chevle Mashiach, and we reach the end game soon. But again, we will see at that time that any Ra is a mirage. Okay. We continue in the story. The next pasuk. Vayomru kol ha'eda. After this speech by Yehoshua and Kalev, they say we could go, Tovar Asmo Ma'od, if Hashem wants to give it to us, don't go against Hashem. All of a sudden, Vayomer Kala Edel or Gomosan Ba'avanim, everybody gets up to stone them. To stone Yehoshua and Kalev. They were going to throw rocks at them. Ask the Arachayim HaKadosh, in source number 8 on the top left, Vayomru Lergomosam, Tzorech Ladas, Lama Lo Nirgeshu B'Ma'amar Harishon. Earlier, when Kalev was talking, he already said the same kind of thing. Alo na levi arashnu osa, ki yachol nuchala. Why did they only get really mad now? It was just like a build-up. They were like holding it in beforehand. It was Kalev. V'nireh, so the Aruch Chaim says, maybe, ki ledivre Kalev lo chashashu. When Kalev started talking, they weren't nervous about it. Right? B'nai Yisrael seemed to not want to go in. But when they heard Yehoshua, I'm sorry, when they heard Kalev, they weren't nervous. Why? L'fishadvara b'tilim b'yatzman. Shein edis yachad omedis l'gab edis rabim. There's one person. Kalev is one aid. One aid? You have 11 against you. And the rest of Kalev is 11 to 1? 11 to 1. One aid is meaningless. Right? You need two aidim. Al pishnei aidim yakam davar. Lazel l'chashu l'dvarif. That's why they didn't say anything when Kalev, because they just dismissed his words. But now, what's going on here in this next set? Yeshua's talking with him. It's two aidim. Kishabo yacha divre Yehoshua v'kalev. Me'ata hura eidus hamaraglim. So now the 10 is no better than the 2. Why? Because what does the Mishnah say in Makkos and the Gemara? Trei kameya. Once you have two aidim and 10 aidim are equal in terms of the power they have in Beis Din. Kidin shnayim aidim, kidin mea aidim. Makkos dafei. Ve'eidus shkula hizos. Ve'en kan eidus. So once Yehoshua and Kalev both started talking, so now they're like, uh-oh. Right? 2 against 10, that's going to be equal, and that's why now they're getting upset. But said the Arachayim, but one second. So why wasn't it a stalemate? Why'd they all of a sudden trust the 10 over the 2 if it really should have been equal? The Tzorach Ladas, Lama lo hiskilu ladun al pi mishpat haTorah, lahachish divrei ha'asara. Right? Why did they trust the 10 over the 2? The Efshar, the Arachayim, and this is like a Rishon. I once heard Rabbi Isaac Bernstein used to call the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh the Ramban of the Achronim. The Ramban of the Achronim. And this is a classic one, that going through Kashas and Tirutzim like a Rishon. He said, right, well, why weren't there? Because there was only one aid. So now there are two. Okay, so why did they trust the 10? He says, Ve'efshar shadonu b'Yoshua shehu pasol le'edus. B'mashen ogea l'moshe ki haya mishar so mi'bachurev. Maybe he thought that, they thought, well, Yeshua, really they made two, but Yeshua was an ogea b'davar. You can't testify with your brother. You can't testify with somebody who you love so much. He was going to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. So he can't be objective. That's why they kind of discounted Yehoshua, even though they got upset when he came. But they discounted him because of his relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, last thought for this year. Something very special. From the Maharal Miprag. He has 2 or 3 points here that each one of them is worthwhile. Rashi, all the way at the end of the parsha. And now we have the Meraglim, then we have a couple of other parshios in between. If you remember, we have the mitzvah of Chala and the mitzvah of Nesachim. And towards the end of the parsha, we have the story of the Mikoshesh Eitzim. the Mekoshesh. What did the Mekoshesh do? Either he did some halacha. Either he gathered or he harvested. He did something wrong. He did something wrong. But what is the introductory phrase to the Mekoshesh? Right, and they bring him to Moshe. How do you kill him? The introductory phrase, Vayiu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. The Jews were in the desert. Vayimse'u ish Mekoshesh eitzim b'yom HaShabbos. They found the Mekoshesh. Right, according to Chazal, maybe he was Slavchad. But they found the Mekoshesh. Says Rashi, what does that earlier phrase tell us? Vayiu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. They were in the midbar, and there was a Mekoshesh there. Rashi, Bignusan shel Yisrael dibra kasef. This is telling us something about the lowliness, about the negativity of the Jews. Shalosh shomer el Shabbos Rishona. All they did was they kept the first Shabbos. Ubishniya bazeh v'chillah. They couldn't keep two Shabbosos. They kept one Shabbos, and right here they messed up again. Meaning all of Chai Yisrael together, the Mekoshesh. Ask the Maharal. There are a couple of steps, four steps in this Maharal, four parts of the thought. And with this, we'll finish tonight. It says the Maharal. How does Rashi know that this is what's going on in the message? How does Rashi know that there's some message going on here in this pasuk? It says they came to the midbar and there was Mekoshesh. Says the Maharal. De'im lo kein, because if you say there's no message trying to be given here, vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar lamali, what is that phrase doing there? They were in the midbar and there was a Mekoshesh. Of course they were in the midbar. They've been in the midbar for the past year and a half. Right? So why does he even say they were in the midbar? Ela la'ashmi'inan, it must be to teach me shemiyad, shebo'u b'midbar, b'zeh b'shabes p'sheni v'chilas ha'shabes. They came to the midbar, and right away when they came to the midbar. That's the message. It must be that's what the Torah is trying to teach us. What's the message? Rashi explains. They came to the midbar, and they sins. They couldn't even keep it to a second Shabbos. Number one. Number two. V'yim tomar b'shabes rishon haya. How does Rashi know it was the second Shabbos? If you're telling me it was right when they came to the Midbar, maybe it's even the first Shabbos they sinned. When was this Mekoshesh? Only the second Shabbos? Maybe it should have been the first Shabbos. Devadai Rishon Alohaya. No, it couldn't have been the first Shabbos. And look what the Maharal says. This is ingenious and creative and explains so many psukim that we don't even realize. And we say it every Shabbos. Right, what's this kasha now? How did Rashi know that it was the second Shabbos that they messed up? Right? Maybe it was even the first Shabbos. No, it couldn't have been the first Shabbos. Why? Midichsiv. What does the pasuk say here? Vayimsu mekoshesh. Vayimsu ish mekoshesh eitzim biyom haShabbos. He was mekoshesh on Shabbos. Velo nikra yom haShabbos elim kvar shachachu shav subo. You'll never find the language of Shabbos unless Bnei Yisrael have already kept the Shabbos. Because only the Jews keeping Shabbos make it Shabbos. You could only call it Shabbos after you had one Shabbos, so the Jews keeping the Shabbos. The Alkei Nikra, right, what does it say here? The Mekoshesh was B'yom HaShabbos. V'lo Nikra B'yom HaShabbos Ela Im Far Shov Subo. The Alkei Nikra Yom HaShabbos L'Hashem Shizol Shov Simbo. The B'Shabbos B'Shon, and we'll bring Rias. The B'Shabbos B'Shon, if it was the first Shabbos, V'adayim Lo Shov Subo, if Bnei Yisrael hadn't kept the Shabbos yet, it wouldn't have said that he violated Shabbos. Lo haya nikra yom haShabbos. I'll prove it to you. Look at all the previous times that it talks about an event that happened. V'tei dalacha, let's just see his rayas first. The b'Shabbos Rishona nomar, it says by the mon, al yetze ish mimkomo b'yom haShavi'i. Doesn't call it Shabbos. B'yom haShavi'i. Vayihi b'yom haShavi'i yasmin om, by the mon, it says they went out on the seventh day. Why didn't it say b'yom haShabbos they went out? It says they went out on the seventh day. Vayishpesu b'yom haShavi'i. Mipnei ki adayim lo shavsu lo nikra yom haShabbos. Right, it wasn't called Shabbos yet. What do we have in Vayechulu? Vayechulu shmei meres chotzva'am echalam b'yom haShavi'i malachtu asher asa. Vayishpos b'yom haShavi'i. Yikom malachtu asher asa. Vayevarach olkem es yom haShavi'i v'yekadish oso. Unbelievable. In Kiddush, in Vayechulu, which comes up in Bereishis, Shabbos is not called Shabbos. Right? It's called Yom HaShavi'i. Because it's not Shabbos until the Jew keeps Shabbos. Once the Jew keeps Shabbos, then you can call it Shabbos. That's something powerful. The Ode, B'Shabbos, Arishon, Ksiv, Vayishbu, B'Yom HaShavi'i. Imkin Kfar Shavsu, V'Lachilu, Oso, Imkin HaKarchach, Hoya B'Shabbos, Rishon, Shem Chilu. Fine. Number one, says the Maral, you know they sinned right when they came into the Midbar, because that's what the first phrase teaches me. They came to the Midbar. Why did they have to tell me that? Number one. Number two, how did Rashi know that it wasn't the first Shabbos? Because it says they sinned on Yom HaShabbos. So it must be that there already was a Shabbos, because it wouldn't be called Shabbos unless Bnei Yisrael kept a Shabbos. Next, point number three, says the Maral. But wait a minute. Didn't we learn? Didn't we just quote by the Mun? Doesn't it say in Bishalach that Dasan and Aviram went out and gathered the Mun on Shabbos morning, again against the mitzvah? So, what do you mean? So that was the first, they didn't even keep that, they violated Shabbos months ago. It says Dasan and Aviram were Mechal Shabbos, no? Uperakal Kisvei, the Gemara in Shabbos. Ilmali Shami Yisrael Shabbos Rishon or Lashotaba Ohaim Umavalashon. They didn't even keep one Shabbos. But the Gemara says, had they kept even one Shabbos, then we would never have gone into Galus. So, how do you put that together with this Rashi? That Chazal and Shabbos, they didn't even keep one Shabbos. Vimkin Muchatim Shabbos Rishon and Amilah Shamar, they didn't even keep the first Shabbos. Says the Maharal, Nira Lomar, again, Alumdus. Dahadakamar Ilmali Shamru Shabbos Rishona. Lo Iri Sha'abru Bechilos HaShabbos. Says the Maharal, there's a difference between keeping Shabbos and not keeping Shabbos, but it's still not called Chilol Shabbos. There's a difference between the two. Dimhayu Mechal Rosa Dasan and Aviram. After all, look at this point that the Maharal says. If Dasan and Aviram were really Mechal Shabbos, why didn't Moshe kill them then? If they already had Shabbos. And does it, nothing. Hayo Moshe Abenu Alada Donosan Beskila. Ella Al Karchach. Dasan and Aviram were not Mechal Shabbos. They were just not Shomer Shabbos. Shalosh Shamru Oso. But Israel didn't keep the first Shabbos, but they weren't Mechalal it either. They were only Mechalal it the second time. Right? That's what the Rashi's language. Bazeh b'Shabbos Sheni v'chilel es HaShabbos by the Mekoshesh. Earlier it just says, Lo Shamru es HaShabbos. Right? Mechalaleha mos yumas. So that is why, says the Maharal, even though we have some evidence that the first Shabbos wasn't the greatest, most perfect Shabbos, that might not have been a Shmirah Shabbos, but that wasn't a Chilul Shabbos either. We're not going to read the last paragraph, but feel free to look at it, where he talks about, well, what happened in Mara? Weren't they commanded on Shabbos in Mara? So there were many Shabbosos since then, even before Maimon or Sinai. So he talks there about, you know, how that Shabbos might have been different. Maybe they didn't have all the halachas of Shabbos yet, or maybe it's not Mefurish in the Torah, so it has a little difference. Either way, this is the Maharal. But again, we take with us that, you know, there's no Shabbos without the Jews. And that's why we might add, Shabbos is not one of the big three. Right? You don't have to give your life for Shabbos. If it's Mechal Shabbos or I'm going to kill you, we were Mechal Shabbos. Right? To save a life. Because Shabbos is nothing without the Jew. It's only called Shabbos in the Torah once the Jews kept Shabbos. Before that is called Yom HaShvi. Unbelievable diuk. But that's what we recognize, and we should have the schus of Shabbos in our lives. Always. And we should be zochet to Nisim Neflos, as this Parsha Shlach, is all about the special connection to Eretz Yisrael and the fact that there was a mistake made in terms of it. We should be zochet, as Klal Yisrael are fighting to defend Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. We should be zochet to Nisim, as we have been zochet to Nisim, but we should be zochet to Nisim and the time that we'll have Shalom Ba'aretz with all of Am Yisrael here with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.